Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever looked through a bag of grass clippings looking for a four-leaf clover, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Now Jones works from the gun on a third down and six from the Tennessee 41. Ball splits the hash marks in a 2x2 set. Jones is back in the pocket, throws down the middle, caught by Moore in running room to the outside as he carries to the 30.
Oh,
and he's down the sideline. It's 15 away from a defender into the end zone. Touchdown to run after the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
We are full throttle ahead into week number 13 of NFL action. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel kicking it around for the next hour. A lot of news and notes to get to, but the breaking news coming out of the New York Giants. We talked about the Giants matchup yesterday against the Miami Dolphins. At that particular time, the Giants were 3-point underdogs to Miami. Miami has won four straight heading into this battle, but Daniel Jones did suffer at the end of practice, it looks like, or at the end of last week, Scott, a neck injury, and this comes from a New York Giants insider, Wesley Steinberg. He tweeted out last night, quarterback Daniel Jones is out for the rest of the season. This won't be confirmed by the team just yet, as they want to keep opponents guessing, similar to the situation with Jason Garrett, the offensive coordinator. The timeline for the neck injury Jones sustained is at a minimum of 6 weeks, which would effectively end his season, barring a miracle playoff run. The line immediately jumped last night with the Jones injury from 3 up to 5.5. It's settled in right now at 5 on FanDuel, but if you're a New York Giants fan, you have to rely now on backup and former NC State quarterback Mike Glennon to take over the helm.
Yeah, how about that? Well, you know what? As a Dolphin fan, just from this game, we'll start there, Joe, I'd just as soon have Daniel Jones in there. I know what I'm getting at of Daniel Jones. He sucks. He's just not any good when it comes to winning and losing games. But Mike Glennon, you know, I don't know. You know, there's a reason why at 31 you're still in the league. You know, every once in a while you can throw one of those 300-yard, two-touchdown performances at you. So I'm a little bit more scared with the Glennon in there than I am, believe it or not, with Jones. But big picture with the Giants, this is the worst. If this is really true, this is the worst thing that could happen to them. This is kind of like the Dolphins. Amazing how my two favorite teams, Giants and Dolphins, they kind of mirror each other in that, you know, what do you have to decide, the Giants? We've talked about this. They have to decide early next year if they're going to pick up the final year on Daniel Jones's contract. And as a quarterback, that's $20 million a year. And it means you're committed to him for the most part for not only next year, which is the fourth year, but that fifth year that you're picking up that you have to, you know, decide after year number three, which I think is a dopey rule that the NFL ever agreed to. So, you know, and then they got the GM who's, you know, nearly getting fired before this year. And obviously nothing has happened great this season. So do you pick up the option on Jones? Have you seen enough? to know that, okay, we're going to want this guy around for the next 2 years? Do you allow the GM, who figures they have not one but two top 10 draft choices, because don't forget they have the Chicago Bears pick, so that figures to be a top 10. Giants with Glennon in there figures to be a top 10. Do you fire the GM? Do you get rid of Jones and just say, okay, we're starting from scratch? I don't know if they need any more, you know, film, if you will, on Daniel Jones, but I don't personally. But I would think the Giant organization would, and I would think if you're Gettleman, you're like, wow, you know, I'm gonna go down with Mike Glennon as my I'm gonna get fired, honey. I got fired today. What happened? Daniel Jones didn't play well. No, I got Mike Glennon in there. You know.
Well, let's look at this big picture, Scott. Let's look at this big picture in terms of this game. Now the total has dropped. That total for much of the early portion Sunday into the early part of the week was 41.5. Now with the Glennon, starting quarterback situation, it's dipped down to 40.5. We know the New York Giants have been basically a dead under team. In terms of your assessment of Daniel Jones, he's got a quarterback rating of 40.9 this year, 63% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So maybe it's an upgrade when we look at this in terms of, Daniel Jones is handcuffed maybe with the offensive approach, or maybe he's just limited in terms of how he breaks down opposing secondaries in terms of reads and coverages. So would you be inclined now with a journeyman backup to jump on the under here, even though the total is going lower? We know that Miami has a solid defensive front and their defense is playing well. Or do you buck that? Because I'm traditionally a contrarian. I'm willing to jump over the 40.5 in this matchup, saying, you know what? Maybe Freddie Kitchens throws the kitchen sink at the Miami defense in this ballgame.
That's what I'm thinking. I was on the over last week with Miami and Carolina, and we got a little lucky there with that last field goal. But Mike Glennon is so – and Miami, I bring it up only because the Dolphins are a strong under team over the last basically 2 months, and the Giants are as well. But Mike Glennon is so bad, though. He's going to create scoring opportunities for not only the Giants every once in a while, but for the Dolphins as well with his mistakes. You know, and you're sitting on an under 40.5, and all of a sudden he's throwing a pick six, or he's getting sacked, and the ball's coming loose, and the Dolphins are taking over at the Giants 10. You're going to be like, what am I doing? You know, 40.5 points. I think it's going to go even lower, because you're going to get the bird brains in Vegas who think they know everything to continue to pound the under. When you said it, Joe, the Giants quarterback's position might be getting an up this week if Glennon plays well. So I would sit on this, let it get under 40, and then I would go over.
Yeah, I like over, too. I can only look Miami now. I mean, Miami has everything in front of them. You were dead on call a couple of weeks ago, 36-1 to make the playoffs. We talked about it, plus 1180. Miami wins this ballgame. They're one game under 500. We'll see how that plays out. When we come back, we'll break down the other matchups in week number 13. We'll start with Washington and Las Vegas. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel getting you prepped and ready for week number 13. One of the most underrated matchups, I believe, this coming weekend happens in Las Vegas. Raiders coming off a very impressive victory over Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys as a 7.5-point underdog. On the flip side, we have Washington. They were catching 2 points Monday night against Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Taylor Heineke stepped up. Antonio Gibson with a big night on the ground. And Washington now is 5-6 overall, trending to potentially a playoff spot, not only to maybe win the NFC East, Scott, but even a wild card at worst, the way Taylor Heineke's playing right now. On the flip side, Las Vegas is 6-5. They're right in the thick of the AFC wild card situation and scenario. 49.5 is the total in Las Vegas, minus 110 either way. Raiders are favored 2.5 points in this ballgame, minus 115 on FanDuel. I'm conflicted because I think the better offense right now is Las Vegas. Derek Carr, to me, does have the nod in terms of the quarterback situation. But I like the way the front seven is playing at Washington right now, and they're pounding the rock a little more consistently. I think I might take Washington in this ballgame, plus the 2.5 points on the road in Las Vegas this weekend.
Yeah, the Raider team is such a weird team, isn't it, Joe? I mean, I don't know. One week you bury them and they're dead, and then they go out and they beat Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. It's like, where did that performance come from? I mean, they looked horrible the two previous weeks. All the craziness that's gone out with that organization, the interim head coach, and you think, okay, they're done. Put a fork in them, and then they play, you know, lights out, especially on offense with Derek Carr. But I like Washington, too. This is seemingly a carbon copy of what they were able to do last year, finish out the regular season strong. It's a little bit earlier than what they did last year, but that has all the earmarks of the same thing, kind of picking things up, beating the teams that they're supposed to beat. They started with a nice win 2 weeks ago against Tampa Bay, followed up with a decent win Monday night. Didn't look great, obviously, but they got the job done, and that's all that matters, and that's all you need to do here as you're getting 2.5 points. You know, if you want to buy the hook, I would buy the hook with the Redskins plus the 3, but I think they win the game outright. I'd rather lose money on the Redskin potatoes than I would the Raiders. That's how I look at some of these bets. It's like, if I put money on Las Vegas, I'm going to be saying, what am I crazy? How can I bet on this dopey Raiders team? They're going to jump off sides 5 times. They're going to get holding penalties, you know, on run plays. They're going to do something stupid that's just going to give you odds. So I'll take Ron Rivera any day of the week with Washington.
Well, let me ask you this in terms of preparation, right? Extra few days with the Raiders playing on Thanksgiving, short week for Washington. Any effect in the cap that way? Obviously, Las Vegas with an interim staff, that'll benefit them. I'm sure they had a couple of days off for the holiday, but still, to be rested, to come back into the office and into the practice facility, knowing that you won that ball game on Thanksgiving Day, any benefit in your eyes to that breakdown from a handicapping perspective? I would say slightly, and that's why you're seeing Las Vegas as a short favorite here.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. I didn't think about that, but it's true. And throw in that, you know, Washington obviously has to fly 3,500 miles. I mean, that stuff shouldn't happen in the NFL, Joe. And we do see this from time to time. I mean, Vegas, you know, has got the long week. Okay, it is what it is. But now, instead of just pitting them up against a team that's, you know, another West Coast team, they have to face, or they get to face a team that played Monday night, and then they get to face a team that played Monday night and has to fly all the way from Washington. I mean, that isn't fair. It's almost making me flip, to tell you the truth. I forgot. It's a good point. I really forgot about that.
That's a
tough spot for Washington for a mediocre football team, right? A short week and you're flying back west. At least you're gaining 3 hours, unlike if you're flying west to east. But that's – I'm still going to go Washington, but I'm a little bit more hesitant, I must say.
I did want to bring up Taylor Heinicke because I like the way the kid plays. I mean, he's a gutty quarterback. I mean, again, he gives it a full 150%. He dives, he throws his body all over the field, and he has shown consistency. Now, the numbers don't pit him as one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, but you look at his numbers, 24 of 363, 2,613 yards, 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He did that for much of the season without Logan Thomas, who was injured against Atlanta. He was back in that lineup Monday night against Seattle. Is he the long-term answer? Do you feel Taylor Heinicke is the quarterback for the future for the Washington football team? I know Rivera said he loves the way he's playing. The players around him love his intensity and buy into what Taylor Heinicke's pumping out each and every Sunday, but could he be the answer, not just for this season, but for the next 3 or 4 and beyond?
I think the next 5-6 weeks will determine that, right? I mean, they obviously didn't think that heading into this year, which is why they got Ryan Fitzpatrick, but you know, he's been given another chance to win the job, if you will, for the following years. I really, ultimately, kind of, you know, see what's happening over the next 5. If they get him into the postseason, you know, you would think that they would give him another shot. You would think that would be the fair thing to do, right? But if there's a, you know, if Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden says, you know what, I want out of Green Bay and I want to go to Washington, or you know, one of those crazy things occur, then maybe that'd be a different story. But I would think, you know, he's basically got 5 weeks, 6 games, whatever it is for them, to figure out his future with Washington.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he could do it. Now, they are 5-6. They get this victory on the road. They're an even 500. More importantly, you look at Dallas taking a minor step back. They've lost three of the last four, right? They're sitting at 7-4. They're minus 750, the Cowboys are. They were basically minus 1,000 all of last week heading into that ball game with the Raiders. Washington to win the NFC East, Scott, plus 950. Does it entice you in any capacity?
That, you know, you got Jerry Jones. It's fighting with Amari. Kind of ever going to play again. You know, I'm not big on the Cowboys. Zeke is clearly not Zeke Elliott anymore. They're not the same consistent lose to Denver and the Raiders at home and then, you know, win on the road. You know what? They have to win some of these games, obviously, but you want to give me almost 10-1? I like that, Bill. I like that play. I was going to say the Giants, believe it or not, but now with Glennon seemingly going to be the quarterback for the rest of the season, I won't do that just because the Giants' schedule is so easy. Hedging our Dolphin bet there, 36-1. But you want to give me 9.5-1 with Washington? I would take that play right now. Yeah.
See, the books don't think they could get there, in my opinion.
No, they don't.
Because they have the FanDuel right now. They're 5-6, right? FanDuel has a win total on them, 7.5 at plus 125. So they're enticing you to take the over, which is basically three more wins with this ball club. So do we feel that they could get three wins? Because that's a solid bet on FanDuel if you believe that.
Out of six games, can they get three? They play Dallas twice, Philadelphia twice, in back-to-back weeks. They got a weird they go through a four-week stretch where they play nothing but Dallas and Philadelphia. Dallas 1 week, then Philadelphia, back to Dallas, then Philadelphia again. And then they got the Giants on there, who are going to be playing for nothing at the end of the season. And then you got the Raider game this week. You know, I like that over. I would even forget about the division. Well, I mean, I wouldn't forget about it because you get 9.5-1. But I would play the over. I think they get three wins out of that schedule, don't you? I mean, it's hard to beat a team twice in a one-month span, and you're asking Dallas and Philadelphia to do that even if they won the first game. You know,
agreed. Agreed, and if that defense plays the way they did Monday night against Russell Wilson, they could potentially pick up two against Philly with the inconsistency of Jalen Hurts in that defense, because I don't think Philly's defense is anything to write home about. They dominated that ball game the last time they played in Lincoln Financial, and they could go toe-to-toe with Dallas. They beat them last year, so who's to say they can't knock off the Cowboys this year? Antonio Gibson had a huge day on the ground against that front seven. Granted, it was a different defense from last year to this year, but they could still move the football. And if Heineke gets some plays on the perimeter, it's anybody's guess. 7.5 could be live, Scotty.
Yeah. I mean, all they really need is one win over the next four games. Vegas, Dallas, Philly, Dallas. Because then they got Philadelphia at home and then the Giants closed out the season. And I'm playing pencil with those as two wins.
Yeah, I agree with you. So we'll see how that plays out this coming Sunday, Las Vegas and Washington. When we come back, we'll break down the battle in Pittsburgh, Lamar Jackson and Baltimore on the road to face Ben Roethlisberger. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
A tale of two teams taking battle on Sunday in Heinz Field. Pittsburgh coming off a very disappointing road loss to Joe Burrow, and the Cincinnati Bengals got absolutely abused in Cincinnati as a 3.5-point underdog. Now come back home to face Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. It wasn't pretty. Lamar Jackson, four interceptions in that ballgame against the Cleveland Browns Sunday night, but somehow, some way, he made enough plays to survive 16-10 over Baker Mayfield and the crew. Now they go on the road. Baltimore is a 4-point favorite, minus 114 on FanDuel. Total set at 44, minus 110 either way, Scott. I have to be honest with you. There's no way I could back Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh here. TJ Watt comes back. It didn't matter. Joe Mixon rushed for 169 yards on that front seven, two touchdowns. Now, I will say, that I believe the schedule caught up to Pittsburgh a little bit, and we tend not to say that with the NFL teams. We say it more with the college teams, but when Pittsburgh expended a lot of second-half energy going toe-to-toe with Justin Herbert on the West Coast, and then to have another road game against a division opponent that was pounding the rock, very consistent with Joe Mixon, I thought it was a difficult battle. That's why I like Cincinnati, but now they come back home, have to face another physical rush offense in Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Tell me how they're going to stop that attack. Give me Baltimore laying the four on the road in this ballgame.
Yeah, these two teams historically play so many close games. They're all field goal games. I'm going to grab Pittsburgh saying that what happens one week in the NFL doesn't happen the next. And they're kind of like the Detroit Lions, fitting that these two teams played to a tie. And that you're going to get good Pittsburgh, you know, that's going to find a way to beat Buffalo and then beat some of the teams they've won. And then they're going to get bad Pittsburgh, you know, which, you know, they got stampeded by Cincinnati. I think they're due for a bounce back. I got to believe, I love Mike Tomlin as a head coach. I got to believe he's going to rally the troops this week and say that wasn't Steeler football and this, that, and whatever. I'm not that impressed with Baltimore. I got to tell you, they are, to me, the luckiest, most fortunate, I won't say bad or worse, but most fortunate 9-3 football team I've ever seen. It is amazing. they're lucky they're over 500, let alone 9-3, and have the best record in the AFC, right, them in New England. So I think Pittsburgh will keep it close. Getting 4.5 in this series is, to me, a godsend. So grab Pittsburgh thinking they're going to bounce back at home.
I just don't know how they're going to be able to move the football. And granted, Baltimore's defense is not elite. They're not elite. Right. I get that. You know, and I understand that these teams basically hate each other. But do you have any confidence in Ben to bounce back in any way? I mean, that's the one concern is that T.J. Watt comes back last week. It didn't even matter. I mean, Joe Mixon is a dynamic talent. I mean, and if you watch that Sunday night game, I mean, the fact that Lamar Jackson was throwing up helicopters. I mean, Mark Andrews made him look fantastic, right? I mean, in terms of that 50-yard reception, it's just that if you take the Steelers plus the four, you're basically asking them to win the ballgame. And do we believe that?
Not really. I mean, you're getting over a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, Baltimore's not blowing teams out, except for the Charger game. They're playing nothing but close games. You know, when you start to think about it, I mean, all their games are coming down to the wire. So why would they be favored that much over Pittsburgh? And Baltimore doesn't have a Joe Mixon. You know, you look at the Raven wins, 1 point over Kansas City, 2 points over Detroit, overtime over the Colts. They did blow out the Chargers. Overtime over the Vikings, 3 points over the Bears, 6 points over the Cleveland Browns, only because they got to kick the late field goal. So you're telling me that team deserves to be a 4.5 point road favorite over Pittsburgh? Steelers only 2-7 against the spread last 9 home games, which is just sacrilegious in the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, football history, right? But I can't lay more than a field goal with Baltimore.
All right.
Looking at those numbers.
You bring up fair points. Now, the total is, I'm conflicted with the total because you know both teams want to run the football. If Tomlin has to rely on Big Ben in this ballgame, it's a loss. Right? Let's be honest. I mean, they need Najee Harris. They need that offensive line to go toe-to-toe. We're looking, you know, this ballgame's got to look 17-13 as opposed to, you know, 35-31, right? Because then you say, all right, we got to rely on the old guy again. I mean, you know, he's a turnover waiting to happen if you get pressure on him. So I would say under early on, but we've seen these games go over as well, especially if they can't stop the run. But I would lean to the over in this ballgame. This one I feel a little more confident in because of the offensive approach by both teams heading into this ballgame.
Yeah, and with all the injuries in the Steelers secondary, their defense isn't nearly as good as it used to be, and neither are the Baltimore Ravens defense as good as it, you know, it's been known over the last, you know, really 10, 15 years. So 44, modest number. You know, that's I would side maybe towards the over. Pittsburgh at home generally goes over. On the road, they're strong under teams. And how about, by the way, what was Tomlin doing last week? I don't know if you saw the end of the game, Joe. They're down 41-10, right? 40 or 41-3. And he's got Roethlisberger in the game in the fourth quarter. I'm like, well, what are you, did you bet the over? What, you know? And oh, by the way, he gets a touchdown with just under 3 minutes left,
maybe,
and the game doesn't go over.
You never know.
I mean, what do you mean? How do you explain? You're down 41-3 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and you got Roethlisberger who's falling apart anyway, still in the game, throwing passes. And then they score. They get the ball back with like a minute and a half left, and he's doing a hurry-up offense like it's a one-score game. I'm watching this game. It's 41-10, Mike. What are you doing? I mean, you're going to get your guys killed, for goodness sakes.
Some of these coaches
are just brain dead. Yeah, you're already pissed away. I tease the under 6 points. I can still win that play. What are you doing?
There you go. I know that's what it was. I just took the in-game total of 51.5. What are you doing to me? Oh, Scotty, I love you. So we'll see how that game plays out. Scott's going to take the 4 points with the home team. I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens on the road. Another battle of teams headed in opposite directions. San Francisco back on track, right? They get the victory as a 3.5-point home favorite over Minnesota, and Kirk Cousins win that ball game by 8 points. Now they go back on the road to face Russell Wilson, the Seattle Seahawks. They lose that ball game Monday night by 2 points, 17-15. But I'll tell you this, Russell Wilson's dead to me. I was on his passing total. He got through that. But the fact that they didn't pull the ball game out, the fact that he only targeted DK Metcalf 4 times, the first time in the third quarter, are you kidding me? The guy has 1 catch for 13 yards in the ball game, no identity. Mr. Dangerous, he's terrible. He sucks. Russell Wilson, I don't know. I don't think he'll be there next year. Pete Carroll might not be there. They're catching 3.5 points at home on FanDuel, -115 with the Seahawks. Give me San Francisco. They're back on track. You never know what you're going to get with Seattle. I don't care that they're home. Yeah. I think they lose and get blown out in this ballgame.
Yeah, I tell you, real quick, knowing everything that we do know, would you rather give up 3 first-round draft choices for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson?
Oh, Deshaun Watson. Right now?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because Deshaun Watson, he just reacts, and he's a younger quarterback. And number one, he uses his legs. I mean, that's part of his game. I like
he's got baggage
presence.
Right? You're buying that baggage.
Well, the bag. Oh, all right, that's the other thing. Is the baggage behind us?
I'm guessing it's going to be behind us by the time the next season rolls around.
Okay, so if it's behind us, I'm all in with Deshaun Watson. Because Russell Wilson, to me, he doesn't want to run anymore. He just wants to stand in the pocket. You look at the throws on Monday night, especially in the third quarter. He has a wide-open Tyler Lockett. He tries to force the ball to DK Metcalf when he's double-covered. Almost threw an interception. He has a wide open lane late in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, stays in the pocket. He doesn't want to run anymore. You know, and that's it. He doesn't want to get hit. He doesn't want to improvise. You know what? You're done to me. Give me the younger kid that's hungry. I'll take Deshaun any day of the week.
I'm not surprised at this line. I'm just shocked that it is what I thought it would be. And it's hard to see San Fran, it's hard to see Seattle, a 3.5-point home underdog. But I tend to agree. They're begging it. The boys in Vegas are begging you to take Seattle. I wouldn't do it. I think they're cooked. Every time I see Pete Carroll, it's like he's going to break down and cry and pull Dan Campbell at these post-game press conferences because he's so used to winning games. Tough little stretch here for the Niners. You know, we talk about these teams who have easy schedules. Not so with San Fran. They have won 3 in a row, 4 or 5, Joe, but they got at Seattle and then at Cincinnati after that. They do get Atlanta at home, but then they play at Tennessee. They get Houston at home, but then they finish up at the Rams. So that's 4 solid games, tough games for them out of the 6 that they play. But I was on San Fran at the beginning of the year, so I'm going to be on them now. I think they get a win. And they lost to Seattle earlier this season, so that gives them a little extra incentive, if you will.
I will just bring up no Deebo Samuel, no linebacker Fred Warner that are both out for a couple of weeks. I still don't think it matters for the offense. That offensive line is pounding the rock. They're providing time for Jimmy Garoppolo. The front 7 is getting quarterback pressures. They're forcing turnovers. They're opportunistic. And in order to win football games on the road, it's the recipe in college in the pros, Scott. You need to pound the rock. You need to sustain drives, force turnovers, that's what San Francisco does. What's the identity of Seattle? You got a journeyman running back in Alex Collins, DJ Dallas. I mean, Russell Wilson, the finger, 1 week, he doesn't want to throw to his big play wide receiver. Is this going to be the week where DK has 46 receptions for 400 yards and he looks like Superman?
Maybe. We'll find out, because you got to believe practices this week and locker room studies and everything else had to be real interesting between those two guys.
Yeah, maybe the over's the way to go. 45.5. Maybe it's a shootout in Seattle with the 12th man. Have to check a weather report in that ballgame. When Scott and I come back, Denver, Kansas City, keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Another sexy battle in the AFC West. Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes. 10-point favorites this weekend in Arrowhead. Minus 105 on FanDuel against the red-hot Denver Broncos that stepped up against Justin Herbert at home. 28-13, they win that matchup. I was shocked that Denver did win that ballgame. I mean, Chargers had everything in front of them. The way they played against Pittsburgh the week before, you go on the road, you got to say, all right, show us some consistency. Austin Eckler coming off a 4-touchdown performance against the Steelers. They were held in check. Now the Broncos go on the road to face the Chiefs. The Chiefs shut down Dallas a couple of weeks ago. That was a solid defensive effort. But I got to be honest, catching 10 points on the road last year, Drew Lock struggled. Teddy B just wins ball games. He gets you covers. Give me the Broncos as the road dog. They could potentially, Scott, in my opinion, strike the upset over the Chiefs this weekend.
Maybe. They're a weird team. There's a lot of weird teams in the NFL this year, right? I mean, you know, 1 week they beat Dallas, the next week they lose at home to Philadelphia. What team are you going to get with this club? To me, it's more a matter of what are we going to get out of Kansas City. If we get Kansas City's A game, doesn't matter what we get out of Denver, they're going to win the game. They basically handled Denver over the last few years. That is the one team that they've really, you know, surprisingly enough, haven't had too many issues with in their division. So I'm going to lay the wood. Sunday night game. I know Denver's going to be all pumped up, but I was surprised they beat the Chargers as well. I thought LA was going to go in there and win that game. So Kansas City's kind of turned things around. Probably the most unimpressive four-game win streak you can come up with, because they're still only scoring 20, 13, 19 points. You know, if they didn't put 41 against Vegas, how many are they going to put up against that Denver Bronco defense? That's obviously the big question, but I think they're going to get. I still think they're going to get 27 at home, and I don't have any faith in that Denver offense. So I'll play on Kansas City. More than that, I like the under in the game, though. I don't think they're getting. Yeah, I just Denver can't score. Their defense is still terrific. Every single week, I look at these Denver Bronco over-under lines, and I just scratch my head and say, why is this line so high? I mean, the Denver defense is terrific. Their offense sucks, and they run the football. That they dink and dunk the ball down the field. They don't throw the ball down the field at all. And so they have these 8-9-minute drives that end up in field goals. And yet, even this week again, it's 47.5. I know it's Kansas City, but I don't think they're getting 48 points. Not with that Chiefs offense struggling the way it is, and not with the Denver Broncos offense and defense. I love the under more than anything else in the game.
Well, that's why it's juiced at minus 114 at 47 and a hook. And I got to be honest with you. When I saw this ball game, I said, okay, barring that it's an absolute, you know, frigid type of feel where it's 20 degrees in Kansas City on Sunday night, I'm going to lean to the over. Now, I remember this game last year. Kansas City did win. I believe that Denver was a double-digit dog with Drew Lock. They did get the cover. That game trended to the under as well. I know Tim Patrick had a huge performance in that ballgame. Ooh, that's the Vic Fangio school of wins. Don't you know him and Joe Judge? You got to win games 17-13. Otherwise, you can't open it up. The fact that, you know, they don't go consistently over the top to Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, who's just a mismatch waiting to happen in terms of linebackers and nickelbacks is beyond me. They have to pound the rock on that front seven each and every week. But, you know, they did come off a quality win against L.A. That was, you know, everything was in front of L.A. last week. They are so inconsistent that was it more of a product of L.A.'s inconsistency or was it more the game plan from an offensive-defensive perspective with Vic Fangio and that team put together last week? I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to take the 10 points. We'll see how that game plays out. It is a Sunday night matchup. We'll turn our attention because this is what Scott really likes. He's salivating at the weekly specials on FanDuel, right, Scotty? So highest scoring team for week number 13, Sunday only, okay? It's the LA Rams at 6-1, Tampa Bay at 7-1, your Kansas City Chiefs 8.5-1 at plus 850, followed by the Colts, Bengals at 11-1, and the Raiders at 13-1. Who are you jumping on in terms of the highest scoring team in week number 13 early on this week?
I will tell you, by the way, Denver 9-2 under, and they've lost 11 straight to the Chiefs. Half of those by double digits. So you take the 10 points. Boy, where are we going? I'm staying away from chalk. You know, I got the two kids in college, so I need to get at least double digits here. So we'll start with the Bengals at 11-1. Are we going to go there? Raiders, no. I think they can lose that outright. How about, you know, what are you going to get out of Detroit? People think they'll bounce back. Not them. I'm thinking Minnesota at 14-1. And I could see the Vikings putting 40-plus on the board. Ticked off that they lost last week, game they should have won. Kirk Cousins, you know, he's indoors. Maybe the Vikings at 14-1. That's not too bad.
All right.
I'll start there. Yeah,
you're going to start there.
I'll start there. Vikings at 14-1.
All right, here's where I'm starting in terms of my analysis. I'm going to start at 15-1. Jalen Hurts, a terrible performance. I don't think he's elite, but they're playing the New York Jets this week, laying 7 in East Rutherford. 15-1 with that defense coming off a win against Houston. I think Philly could break out this week. I mean, it's back-to-back road games, granted, but I mean, come on, it's the Jets. You're telling me that Jalen Hurts can't run all over that defense in this matchup? They can't put up 30, 35 points? Can't be a shootout at the OK Corral with Zach Wilson and the crew?
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. How about a little quirky that they play the New York teams there, right, back-to-back?
Yeah.
How about the Washington? You know, if you think they're going to beat the Raiders – so we eliminate the Raiders, obviously, from the equation. 22-1. Raiders defense just stinks, right? I mean, just awful. You know, even Dallas, without two wide receivers, you know, were able to put up almost 30 points this past week. Maybe the Redskin potatoes at 22-1. Not too shabby.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. How about Arizona? They're laying 7.5 to Chicago. We talked about this ball game yesterday. It's going to be cold, right? So I think a lot of people are going to think if Arizona wins, it's going to be a lower scoring game. That's what you said. I think you threw out a score of 23-10. But it's Matt Nagy. Kyler Murray returns. They're 16-1 on the road against the Bears defense. Now, let's be honest. Jared Goff attacked them over the top. They just never went back to Josh Reynolds in the passing game. I mean, they had 60 yards passing on the first drive, basically, Detroit. They didn't throw the rest of the game.
Yeah. You're betting an over on a December game in Chicago. And with a head coach who's thinking about going to Oklahoma. And a quarterback who, you know, may or may not play.
Is he?
Probably not. He's probably bucking for a new contract, you know, or a contract extension. I'm sure that's the case. But he's a little distracted, right? He's a little pissed off. He's a little like, well, I'm not getting any love anymore, you know. These guys all love attention. You know, that's all. It's just, you know, talk about me, talk about me, talk about me. You know, I'm not interested in this job. Well, who asked you if you were? Who said you were? You know, I mean, they only got to throw out these denials out there, right? So, I can't go with Arizona. In Chicago, windy, with the gusty winds. I haven't lived there. 40 miles an hour. Good luck throwing in that weather.
How about San Francisco? How about San Fran? We just talked about Seattle tossing it in for the regular season. They're done, right?
After
that loss, they walk through the motions. Can you see San Fran stepping up at 18-1?
On the road, I don't like going with road teams. Although I'm already doing that with Washington and Minnesota, so might as well just go one more. Is Seattle going to score enough to keep San Fran's foot on the pedal? That's the question. See, I don't worry about that with the Vikings because the Lions just stink, and you can put 40 points on the Lions without even trying. I think, you know, in Washington's case, the Raiders will keep, you know, Washington's foot on the pedal. I have no faith in Seattle. I just think they're cooked. I think that's an under game. So I can see San Fran putting 30, but I'm looking at 40, Joe, as that's my benchmark. Which team can put 40 points on the board? So I'll stay away from San, especially with Samuel, not with Debo not there.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to take a shot on some of the favorites, Tom Brady and the Bucs are 7-1. They're facing off against the Falcons. They're 11-point favorites, total set at 50.5. What'd they put up in the first game in Tampa Bay? They put up 50?
Or 48? Yeah, something like that.
So they put up 48, right? Leonard Fournette pounding the rock. That's not bad value. You want to take a shot on the Colts? Colts are, what, 850 on that number? To run all over Houston. The problem with Houston is, and I thought they're a much better home team than they are the road. Now, 2 weeks ago, as a 10.5-point underdog, they strike the upset over Tannehill and the crew. But that might not be a bad way to go. They can run at will on the front seven of Houston.
Yeah. I will say this. You know, if you're going to go with one of the favorites, Tampa Bay might be the one, Joe. They put up 48 earlier this year. 44 last year and 31 last year. So Brady, in the three games with Brady, they've scored 31, 44, and 48 points.
Right.
And they're not screwing around at this point. They're, you know, I don't know if Antonio Brown's going to be back or not, but, you know, they're playing winning football now. One thing I like about these highest scoring and lowest scoring, like, you get halfway decent value with these, right? The Tampa Bay is the second choice, and it's 7-1. That's pretty good. You know, a lot of second choices in these props are like 2.5-1, 3-1.
Right.
You know, even at 7, you know, even as the second choice at 7-1 is halfway decent. And you can eliminate, I know this guy, there's 32 teams. Well, you know, four on bye, so now you're down to 28, and you can eliminate half of them. It's really, you know, about one out of every, you got about 10 teams realistically that could probably get this, you know, barring something crazy. So
I got a good one for us. I just, all right, Cincinnati, we got two good quarterbacks. We have Joe Burrow. Yep. We have Justin Herbert. So we bang Cincinnati at 11-1. And then because the Chargers are on the road at 18-1, we split a half a unit on each and just hope
that's
that it's a shootout.
Yeah, that's not bad. Or, well, see, you know what? You're better off doing that than you would Chargers and Bengals being the highest scoring game because that's only paying 550-1.
Right.
If the Chargers end up being it, you're getting, in essence, 9-1. If the Bengals do it, then it is still the 550-1. But at least you're getting that extra juice with the Chargers when you split it that way versus one whole unit on that being the highest scoring game.
Two good quarterbacks. You like the home team, so you would think Cincinnati pulls it out, but you never know, right? If Herbert comes to play, and you have to – what did I say about the Chargers? Every other week they seem to step up. So they lay an egg
too on
the road. Right.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that scares – yeah, they stink. The fact that it's cold weather is the only thing why I'm a little hesitant, but you're going to give me 18-1. That might be the way to go.
Yeah, as long as it's not like 0 degrees, if it's like 30, you know, if it's like freezing, that's not too bad, believe it or not. You know, that creates some fumbles and the ball's a little harder and, you know, the ball pops loose and stuff. I don't let weather bother me unless it's like 50 mile an hour winds. But that's not bad, Chargers and Bungles.
All right. All right. So I piqued your curiosity. I love when I do that. You know, that's what it's all about. Finding value for Scotty so we can pay his bills and make the wife happy. That's what it's all about. When we come back, we'll wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Really fast when Scotty and I are breaking down both college and the NFL, but we'll end it on this, Scott. We talked about highest scoring team for week number 13, Sunday only. FanDuel has leading rushers for Sunday only, led by Jonathan Taylor, plus 340, Joe Mixon. We talked about his dynamic performance. Can he get it done against the L.A. Chargers? Plus 650, Madison taking over for Cook. They play Detroit, plus 850. Then Elijah Mitchell, Najee Harris, and James Conner, that did say he will practice this week, round out the top six. Who strikes your fancy for week 13? Now, I will say no Lamar. I didn't see Lamar Jackson on this list, which usually they have the quarterbacks, but I guess they didn't want to list him and Kyler this week because potentially maybe they could break out.
Yeah. I would say Mixon right away just because I could see the coach with Cincy and Chargers saying, we don't necessarily want to get into a shootout. And that Charger defense, as I mentioned, really is bad. I tell you, if they don't make the playoffs this year, that's where you're going to point to. So I could see Mixon at plus 650. That's not too bad. I could see Taylor. You're not getting any value. But, you know, Frank Reich got so much criticism this week for not running the ball more against Tampa Bay and Brady that I can see that making a point of going to Taylor. You know, night in, night out. So those two, you know, those are the two favorites, though. So what are you, when are you going to get out of that?
How about these?
Go ahead.
How about these?
Gibson, Madison, maybe from Washington.
Alexander Madison going up against Detroit plus 850. They're okay. Pathetic, right? Well, 31st rush defense and Leonard Fournette. We talked about Tampa Bay mimicking New England, where they never go back to the same player back to back weeks. But at 25-1, 17 carries, 100 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. Can I get you to buy into Lenny Fournette?
How about I'm going to give you a quarter, same game. I'll take Patterson of the Atlanta Falcons as he goes off for 150 yards.
Old man, quarterback Patterson.
Yeah, that's your favorite guy.
For Scott Wetzel, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow, breaking down week 13. Have a great day, everyone.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.